just come right on up here and just, amen, amen, amen. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I know you did, and I was standing here praying. I feel we ought to worship some more or do some more. And it's okay. It's unrehearsed. Amen.
God is so good. He's awesome, isn't he? Come on, let me just see you put your hands together.
Yes, he is. Let's try again. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Amen. And I am going to be using the setting of this chapter to share some things. And it's so much bubbling up inside of me. That I want to share. I'm trying to put it in bite-sized pieces, so we're not even going to try to attempt to get through everything. We will use this text as an outline today for what we will be sharing in the weeks and days ahead. You're familiar with the story. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 25. And it actually goes, this parable goes verses 1 through 15. Did we welcome our newest couple here to Spirit of Life, Mr. and Mrs. John Leith? We want to thank you. Would you all just stand and wave or just let us? Come on, we haven't seen you all in a while. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Bless God. We thank you for being here with us today. Amen. The Bible says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Are you there? Verse 2, it says, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And we do know we're living pretty close to the last days. That's obvious. We have the technology now. Matter of fact, we're going to make it one of the books of the month. Some of the technology that's being used to just control and bind people together. You know, so the enemy is doing his work and that type of thing. We know the gospel is being preached. There's war everywhere you look. And people are dying so fast today, we don't even feel it anymore. I mean, they will announce 30,000 died, but it's not as many as the 70,000 that died, you know? So how do you grieve that? And over again, I mean, there's an accumulation of things. We know that we are nearing the end of time, and so there's some things we have to be ready. We have to know God for ourselves so we will know what to do, because the revolution will not be televised. You remember that? But the end, it will not go down like that. There will not be some one individual giving instructions. You're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God to know what to do and where to go. And so we're going to be talking about some of those things in the days and weeks ahead. I want to look at the focus or issue of the story as their lack of preparation. They failed to prepare. And because they failed to prepare, they ended up not having enough oil. And because they didn't have enough oil, they were actually shut out of the kingdom. So they missed everything they were waiting for because they refused to prepare during the time of preparation. And we have to be aware that there is what is called a time of preparation. understanding of how things work. California has been spared up to now. We've actually been spared. We've been able to watch on television what has been happening in other places. But it will not always be that way. I'm not sure how or when, but we know our day of visitation is coming, and we need to be preparing now. I need to make sure I'm preparing for the return of Jesus, and I need to make sure I have enough oil. Notice that in the story, everybody had some oil, and this is what I find interesting. At the beginning of the story, everybody had some. And they were all virgins, which means they had the truth. They were doctrinally pure. But the Bible said there were five foolish who knew the oil was running out and they didn't do anything about it. They knew that their love was waxing cold. They knew there were changes taking place in their life and they didn't do anything about it. They knew they didn't have what they needed, but they didn't do anything about that. When they started off, they had it. When they ended up, they didn't have it, and they ended up outside the kingdom of God. Verse 2 says, five were wise and five were foolish. Now, meaning that the wise is basically saying they were the ones who took care. They were careful to make sure they had what they needed. And then the foolish basically were those who were not careful. They were careless. They refused to prepare. And you get down to verse number 8 of chapter 25. The foolish says to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And literally the text says our lamps are going out. They had indication that they were low. Anybody ever known when you were low spiritually, when you were not as close to God as you should be, when you were not where you used to be, when you have fallen back, but it's not obvious to everyone else that you have fallen back. You're not really doing anything wrong, but you're not doing everything right, right? So they knew they needed something, and they knew the lamps were going out, but they refused to do anything about it until it was too late. And then once it was too late, they wanted to jump up and do something about it. And in the middle of their shame, here comes the bridegroom. Here comes Jesus, right? In the middle of the lack of their preparation, this awful experience that their heart and head are not ready for the return of the Lord. They waited for him, but they're not ready for him. And they had everything, but they were not ready. The ones with the oil, the ones with the lamps were ready, and they went in. Now, I want you to focus in on what I'm going to say and what I will be teaching from here, and I'm just using that. And whether you're listening on the internet or where a CD, please hear me. This story is a tragedy. It is a what, everyone? Tragedy about people who are in church today. And this is where I have to work. And Lord, give me boldness. In church today, but they're not ready for Jesus to return. And they will not be ready for Jesus to return because they are not getting ready for his return. So there are people in church. There are churches that are crowded with people who are not ready for Jesus to return and will not be ready for Jesus to return because they're doing nothing to get ready. They have no oil in the lamps. So this story is about our church. It is telling a shocking truth that there are some folk in the church today who hang out with church people, who are respectable, who are spiritual virgins, who are members of the fellowship, but will be lost in the end. This story is about people who have their names on the roll, who show up week after week. They were all virgins. They weren't really doing anything bad, amen? And the virgins in this story were lost not because they did something bad. They didn't do anything evil. They just didn't have enough oil in the lamp. And this is where I have to work, because as we get closer and closer to the end of time, you cannot run off of one battery, because the work of the enemy will necessitate that you have to fight more than you used to fighting. As we get closer to the end, the Bible says if you couldn't hang when the water was at your ankle, how are you going to be able to handle it when it's up to your neck? You're going to have more of God if Jesus says at the end of this parable, verse 13, he says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the what? Hour when the Son of Man cometh, right? And the word watch is not just saying stand awake. It means to be complete in your preparation. It means to be alert. It means to be conscious. It means to be aware of what's happening around you and in you. Who was that I was discussing with? We were trying to figure out if the world is going to get any better, if our leaders politically and in the government are going to change, and we concluded they're not going to change. In fact, they're going to get worse and do worse because most of them are not evaluating their own behavior. The same is true in the church. If you're not evaluating your own behavior, you are not going to change and you are not going to get any better. And the lack of foresight is inexcusable. I know, I just put that in there for me. I'll break that down. That means if you don't see ahead to get ready for what is coming, you will have no excuse. Why? Because God has given you something or someone to help you see ahead. But if you don't have enough of him in you to help you see ahead so you can be aware and ready for what is coming, you will have no excuse. No excuse to be careless. Well, I don't know when Jesus is coming. Then that means you ought to be even more alert. I don't know the day of my death. That means I ought to be more alert. If I knew, I could just play around until the last minute. But since I don't know, I got to be ready every minute, every hour, because I don't know. And if you die before Jesus returns, that's it for you. Are you following? So today in this message, I'm going to focus mostly on the need to have the Holy Spirit in your life, because I believe the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And because I believe in this story that if we looked at how the Bible uses oil, you and I can move forward and be ready for what's about to go down. Mm-hmm. I want to say again, I'm emphasizing the need for what? Preparation, and the need for oil in the story. You got to have the Holy Spirit. However, the story is about the oil and the lamp. Right? Both are necessary. You got to have the lamp and the oil. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The Holy Spirit, I have to have a growing relationship with the Holy Spirit, so I can't have the oil and not the lamp. But the issue is not whether you have one or the other. The issue is that the foolish virgins didn't have enough oil, even though they had the lamp. But it would have been just as bad if they showed up with no lamp. The oil represents one thing which the foolish virgins failed to supply, but the failure would have been just as bad if they didn't have the lamp. I'm emphasizing the oil today because in this house, somebody say this house, this is where the Lord has placed my heart, that we need a better understanding. And so I'm preaching about the oil today, because the oil will help you for the future. Because what's about to go down is going to be more devastating. The Bible says men's hearts will fail them for fear. In other words, trouble will come. And before you can respond, you'll have a heart attack and be all messed up. Come on, somebody know what you're talking about, huh? I remember when I was out in Monrovia, they had the big California earthquake that did the 10 freeway and some of the others. I remember when that thing hit, I was laying on my bed and the shaking. I jumped up. I jumped up so fast my heart was beating. I had to sit back down. I couldn't run. I had to stop and wait till my heart calmed down. Are you listening to me? And so we need more of this. And I pray that you would hear the seriousness of the message, because the Bible says when this is done, the door is shut and it's over. So I want to warn every good, respectable church member who has a lamp. every member who brought their Bible to church but don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I want to warn you. I'm speaking of the oil because the Holy Spirit is used in the Bible as a symbol of the oil. And one example is the oil is used for anointing, and we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. So the Bible uses it as a symbol. First, I want to ask, do you have the Holy Spirit? Secondly, I'm going to ask, do you have a growing relationship? equipped with the Holy Spirit so you will be prepared and ready for the coming of the Lord. First, do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Do you even know anything about the Holy Spirit? Or are you still at the place where you're scared of the Holy Spirit, but you're just hanging out with the people of God, and you have the lamp, but no oil? Do you have just enough of the Holy Spirit to come to church, or do you have enough to keep the fire burning if you couldn't come to church? How long could you survive without church? How long could you survive in the wilderness all by yourself? Could you find water on your own? Would you know where your food is coming from? Could you trust God enough to send the ravens and the bread? Could you make it during hard times? I want to raise it because most people in church will bring their Bible and not grow in their relationship with God. They don't have enough oil. And based on what I've seen, the Bible uses it, we need more and more of the presence of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's job is to make sure you're ready for Jesus to return. The Bible says part of the job of the Holy Spirit is to lead you in all truth and show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit can literally show you that your days are running out. The Holy Spirit can show you what to eat, so you won't produce the disease that's already in your body. The Holy Spirit's job is to show you who to avoid, what snakes to look out for. All snakes are not harmful. Some snakes eat up other snakes. So you don't just kill a snake because a snake is a snake. Sometimes God will use a snake to get rid of a snake. But God also, through the Holy Spirit, can tell you, watch that snake, because that snake is trying to do you in. The more and more of the Holy Spirit you have in your life, the more and more you will understand what you need to do to be ready for what is coming. Because what's about to go down is going to be pretty heavy. So when I speak of having the Holy Spirit, are you with me so far? I speak and listen, and I want you to grapple with this issue. You ready? I am saying that every born-again believer has the Holy Spirit to some degree. To some measure. Are you with me so far? I believe every believer who is born again has some Holy Ghost to some measure. And I believe that there are other believers who have more of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to show you from the Bible. I am saying when you are born again, you receive a measure or a degree or a portion of the Holy Spirit when you're born again. This means every person who is born again, they have the Holy Spirit in them because you cannot be born again without the Holy Spirit. Let's work through Bible. Let's work through a couple of scriptures. Let's go to John chapter 3. Are you all still with me so far? John chapter 3. Let's go there. John chapter 3. And we begin. Thank you. John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Let me say what I'm attempting to say and make clear. Every person who is born again gets a portion or a measure of the Holy Spirit. Everyone who's born again has some of the Holy Spirit in them. And I'm going to show you through Bible that God wants you to have more than what you got at the beginning. John chapter 3, look at verses 5 through 8. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. You have that in your Bible? John chapter 3, verse number 5, 6, 7, and 8. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," talking to Nicodemus, "except a man be born of water and of what?" Okay, so involved in his birth, we see the water, we also see the Spirit, right? He cannot enter into the what? So the Spirit is going to be involved in that. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the what? Spirit is spirit. So the Holy Spirit will be involved in the new birth. Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth," or, you know, where it wants to blow. "You hear the sound thereof, you cannot tell from whence it comes or whither it goes. So is everyone that is what? Born of the what?" So, when I am born again, The new birth is a spiritual birth or a birth caused by the Holy Spirit. You cannot make yourself to be born again. Come on, wake your neighbor up and get this. Did you even look at him to see if they're asleep? Come on, wake your neighbor up and get it. Amen? In the natural, do you cause your own birth? No. It's the same way in the spirit. The Holy Spirit has to cause your birth. You cannot make yourself be born again, but the Holy Spirit will come and you are born of the Spirit. In the new birth, you're born again, you're born anew. That happens as a result of the Holy Spirit coming to light the candle or to light your spirit or to cause you to be born again. And we will see the Bible is clear that having the Holy Spirit in you at the new birth is not all God wants you to have throughout your experience. I believe the Bible teaches, again, I'm belaboring the point, when you experience the Holy Spirit in being born again, that experience is not the same as an experience in the Holy Spirit as being baptized in the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit after you are born again. Let me say that again. Let me have two chairs, and I can illustrate it with somebody. Help me with two chairs, and let's see if we can illustrate that. Yes. Here's one here. I'll use one here, and let's use the other one, and we'll put the other one over here. So I am wandering around in life, right? Until I meet God, I give God my heart. Through a divine act of the Holy Spirit, I am born again. So I am now a new creature, right? I am born again. That is my experience in God. That is a portion of the Holy Spirit that gets me started on the journey. That is the beginning of the process. Then I'm saying this experience here, somebody say here, is not the same as my experience over here. That there's something after this that God has for me that happens over here, but I can only get over to here after I have first been born again. You cannot have the infilling of the Holy Spirit without first having the work of the Holy Spirit that causes you to be born again. But once you're born again, then there's something else. Somebody say something else. There's something further down the road. There is more that God has for you over here than what he gave you over here. I'm going to show you from Bible. I'm saying that when you're born again, that's one degree of experience with the Holy Spirit. But it may not and usually does not include the additional that comes over here. After you're born again, there's a work of the Holy Spirit God desires to do in your life after you're born again. And this is often called the filling of the Holy Spirit. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is often called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is called the new birth. This is called what, everybody? This is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible describes it as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This one the Bible describes as the new birth. Let's look at it through scripture and see what does it say. Most of us have been taught that when you're born again, you have all the Holy Spirit you will ever need. Most of us have been taught that. I taught it and preached it without studying it, but you know how we do sometimes as preachers. We just say stuff because it's written in somebody else's notes or what we heard. Amen. I'm being honest with you. We read it. So, oh, that sounds good. We say it. But we haven't experienced it. We haven't been seasoned. Somebody know what I'm talking about there. Anyway, so I taught and believe that when you meet God, you give your life to him, that's all. You got the Holy Ghost. That's all you're going to ever need. And that teaching, hear me, is partly right. Part of the truth is, when you are born again, you do have the Holy Spirit. Because you cannot be born again without the Holy Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
The desires have never changed. A whole lot of you is just like it was. The only difference is you're scared enough now and become, not indoctrinated, but you become trained. You become, it's become a routine. It's become a something that you do habitually. Man, it's a jeopardy of what game am I playing in my mind, trying to get the right word. But you're locked into this thing that you've been acclimatized. You've been you just been made over. When you wake up in the morning, you socialize. You fellowship with other believers. But you don't have a relationship with God. You got a relationship with people. You got a relationship with the church. You have a relationship with the truth. You have a relationship with fear because you're trying to make sure you don't burn in hell, but not that you grow in God, and therefore you've never been born again. So you still need to get in this chair. And once you get in this chair, you can grow up in the church and think you know God, because church is also a social environment. That word is out there. Coming to me words, but I get it right. But anyway, you can grow up in the church and you think you know God, but you don't know him. You've never met the Holy Ghost. Nothing has changed. You're moral. You're respectable. You're doing good, but you don't know God. You are a virgin, but you don't know God. You're keeping everything in order, but you don't know God. You never met the Holy Ghost. And you don't get born again unless you have the Holy Ghost. But this beginning experience is not the same as being filled with the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you all still with me? Now say, Pastor, bring the Bible. Come on, say, Pastor, bring the Bible, because we need to have biblical truth. See, one of the reasons why I only taught this, I never studied to learn that there was more. Watch the difference. Go to John chapter 4. Watch the difference in emphasis, and we'll get into scripture. Is somebody helping me on time? I'm not sure. I haven't been preaching here for a couple of weeks, so I'm not sure where I am with you all. Are you all listening, or are you're contemplating, you're receiving? Amen. Okay. John chapter 4, look at verses 13 and 14. Look at verses 13 and 14. Now you got your thinking caps on, right? Jesus answered and said unto her, he's talking to the woman at the well, he's trying to get her converted. You know the story, right? Jesus said unto her, notice the words. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. 14. But whosoever drinketh of the what? The water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be a what? It shall be a what? A well of water, and it will spring up into what? Watch this. You get to drink the water. The water is described as a what? Well of water. Jesus is speaking of the well of water as the work of the Spirit involved in salvation. Woman at the well, you need to be born again. You get born again, I got something I'm going to give you that's going to be like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Girl, you need to get that. That is your experience. She was at the well. Jesus talked about her salvation. And he said, girl, it's going to be like a what kind of water? A well of water. Isn't that what he said? And he was talking to the woman at the well who needed to be converted. You know the story of the woman at the well. And she got converted that day, right? Go to John chapter 7. Notice the words of Jesus again. And we'll try to get in a couple of examples today. John chapter 7, notice verses 37 through 39. 37 to 39, Jesus is speaking. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. In the last day, does everybody have it? In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Watch the wording. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly. 39. But this he spake. Come on, verse 39. But this he spake of the Spirit which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost had not yet been given, because that Jesus had not yet been what? And we know the spirits they're talking about was the baptism of the Holy Ghost that would come later in the book of Acts. Jesus talking to the woman, conversion, well of water. Talking about, oh, but there's an experience coming that's going to be like rivers of water. Wow. Jesus speaking of the Holy Ghost that they would receive. Jesus spoke of the Holy Ghost as water. Two experiences, he spoke of them differently. Lady, salvation, well, springing up. Baptism, which was to come, rivers of living water. Same Holy Spirit, new birth, baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they are different and they are separate and they are necessary for continued growth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit after conversion is necessary for continued growth and continued preparation. So you won't be caught with a Bible and no oil. You won't be caught in the right denomination, but no Lord over your life. Many are going to say to him in the last day, Lord, 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 I don't know you. But yeah, we did this and we did this. Yeah, you got started with me. But he that endureth to the... Let me give you some other texts that show the difference. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. You still here with me? Okay. And the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, workmen that needed not to be ashamed, do what? Rightly. Okay, so listen, and I'm going to show you this. Again, we're going to rightly divide the truth. I've said that there's an experience beyond your baptism, right? And I can't say that unless I have word to back it up. Now, I've showed you one example of well of water and river of water. But does it play out in the rest of Scripture? Are you following out of two or three witnesses? Go to Acts chapter 8. Watch this. It's beautiful. Beginning in verse number 5. Verse number 5 of Acts chapter 8. Turn there. You have it in your Bible? Okay, watch this. Now think about what we just said and look at how it plays out. The Bible said in verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So verse 5, Philip is doing what? Preaching Christ unto them. And who is the them in the text? The Samaritans, right? So he goes to the Samaritans who are over here, and he preaches what to them? He preaches Christ to the Samaritans. Look at the next verse. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the what? Miracles which he did. Verse 7. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Verse 9. But there was a certain man named Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard because of that long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But, 12, when they believed Philip, when they did what, everybody? Believe Philip. And what was Philip doing? He was preaching the things concerning what? The kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. What happened? They were what, everybody? Baptized both what? So I'm over here, I'm in Samaria, I'm not following God, I'm following witchcraft, right? I'm following this wicked man, I think he's the power of God. Philip comes along, he preaches Christ, he preaches the kingdom of God, also, and when he was baptized to continue with Philip, he wandered, beholding the miracles, right? And the signs which were done. Now, when the apostles, verse 14, when the apostles which were at what? Jerusalem heard that Samaria had done what? Come on, had done what, everybody? Received the word of God. What did they do? They sent unto them who? Peter and John. Now, who was there first? Philip was there first. They were in Samaria. The apostles were in what city? The apostles, though, were in what city? Jerusalem. They sent from Jerusalem to Samaria. And who did they send? Peter and John. And what does the Bible say in verse 15? Who, when they came down, prayed for them that they might do what? Watch this now. For as yet, he was what? He was fallen upon none of them, only they were what? Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and what happened? Okay, let's back up and look at it again. Verse number 5. Who did Philip preach to? The Samaritans. What did he preach unto the Samaritans? Christ unto them. Verse number 12. What happened when he preached Christ unto them? Verse 12. They believed. They believed what? They believed the things concerning the kingdom and the name of Jesus. They were also baptized, men and women. Were they saved at this point? Huh? According to Jesus, they were saved. When you believe and are baptized, according to Mark 16, 15 and 16, the Bible says, then thou shalt be saved. The Samaritans, they believed, they received Christ, right? The name of Jesus, the kingdom of God, I am now saved. They are saved, right? Notice verse 14. The Bible says in verse 14 that when the apostles, which were where? At Jerusalem, heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God, what did they do? So the Samaritans, follow this, the Samaritans, wow, we hear the Samaritans who are outside, we think, the ark of safety, are now inside the ark of safety. They received the word of God. They've been born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. What happens here now? Verse number 15, they sent Peter and John, and when they came down, what did they do? Prayed for them that they might do what? Notice this. Peter and John, they prayed that they might do what, everybody? Receive the Holy Ghost. Peter and John does not come to them and pray that they might be saved. Because they are already what, everybody? Peter and John now prayed that the Samaritans might do what? Receive, come on, the Holy Spirit. Because now as saved people, there was more for them in God now that they were saved. Notice what they did and how they prayed. Peter and John did not pray that God would give the Holy Spirit to them as if they did not have it. Did they have the Holy Spirit? Did they have the Holy Spirit? To a measure, you cannot be born without the Holy Spirit. They believed, they received. So he came along. He didn't pray that they might be given the Holy Spirit. He prayed that they might read. Is that what the Bible says? I wonder how come I never studied that before. Notice that. Read the text. This is very important. Too often, this is going to mess your head up, but that's okay. We're moving and shifting. Too often we pray, hear me, Lord, please save that soul. Lord, please heal the sick. Lord, please fill every believer with the Holy Spirit. You cannot find one place in the book of Acts where they prayed like that. We have to line up our prayers with the word. We should pray not that God will save our family, because God has already done what he will do to save our family. He has already provided for the salvation. He's already sent the son to die. He's already paid for all of what has already been provided. In fact, are you ready for this? We should stop praying that God would heal people. And we should start praying that people would reap the healing that God has already provided. The text says, by his stripes you are healed. So the issue is, I have to learn how to receive the healing that God has already provided. Healing is already on the table. But here I am with my lack of faith. I'm afraid to reach up on the table and get the healing that's already there. Why am I afraid to reach up? Because I have a mind and a heart that's full of so much garbage that I can't drum up enough faith to begin to receive my healing that God has already provided. I'm praying to get healed, and I'm waiting until I feel better. Nowhere in the text does it say when you feel better, you are healed. The word says you are healed because I sent you here. You will feel better later because you already have what I've given you. Healing is on the table. So now I got to change how I pray. I got to pray that people have the faith to reach up on the table and receive what is already available. If you want the results that Peter and John had, we need to pray like they prayed. They didn't go and pray, God, would you please give the Samaritans the Holy Spirit? Please, God, give it to them. No, they prayed that they might. And then what happened in verse number 17? Acts chapter 8, verse 17. Then they, can you all do a little more? How are you doing? One more thing. I'd just like to lay his foundation. They did what? They laid hands on them. And what does the Bible say? They received the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. We're praying that you might receive, right? They come along. They lay hands on them. God filled them with the Holy Ghost. They had already been converted. They had already been baptized. They were already part of the church of Christ. Now they got something extra as hands were laid. Notice that Peter and John had a ministry that seemed to be very effective. When they laid hands on people, they did what? Are you thinking with me? Let's look at it this way. Philip went to Samaria, right? Did a lot of preaching. Something else he did. He did some miracles. He brought people into the church. They got baptized. But not one of them received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? We all have our ministries from God. God used Philip as an evangelist. You go there, you preach, you do miracles. And then the apostles like, wow, God is over there, and they have the Holy Ghost now because they got converted. They've had a dream. Now let's fill them up to where they're overflowing, to where rivers are running, not just a well. Is that biblical? If it's biblical, then what do I want to do about it? Huh? You're scared to say? All right. You're going to be all right. As long as we stay in the Word, we're going to be all right. I remember there are a lot of things. I didn't study about the Holy Spirit because I was afraid of the Holy Spirit. I was afraid he would have me do something crazy. Really? I didn't want to be doing nothing crazy. I want to be jumping over chairs and all that kind of stuff and spinning and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, right? And I found that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. You can witness to that. Has the Lord ever told you to do something and you just refused? I'm going to do it. And same Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be afraid of the greatest love experience beyond your conversion is to receive an infilling. If the well is good, imagine what the river is like. Now, who made me afraid of the Holy Spirit? So I literally had to dismantle some of the garbage in my own head. Because some of the people acting crazy saying it was the Holy Spirit, it wasn't the Holy Spirit, that was ego. So I have to get into the Word so there can be a division of soul and spirit. So I can hang on to that, which is true. Did you get it? Hey, man, oh, this is exciting stuff. I got good news for you. We are going to get filled with the Holy Ghost so that we will continue to grow and be ready, led and guided by the Spirit. So when Jesus returns, the Holy Ghost would have worked on us so much we look just like him. Where do we go from here? Do you have more room for God in your life? Do you have a hunger for God? Yeah, you got to be thirsty for this. Do you want more of the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Or do you want to just stay as you are today? You have to decide. According to the Bible, this experience is available for anybody who is willing to receive. Let's pray that we receive. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord, for your word. And I thank you for your people. We rebuke the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. We will not be afraid of you, God. We will respect you, but we won't be afraid of you. You sent your son to die for us. You covered our sins with your blood. You don't even see our sins anymore. Thank you. You said you don't even remember them anymore. Thank you, God. So we can come to you today. I pray in this congregation that our people would just receive you. Receive you. Just lift your hands up to God and just say to him in your own way, Lord, I receive you. I receive you. I believe you're able to come in. Yeah, just in your own way, drink. Father, continue to make us more and more thirsty. Continue to do that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Through the laying on of hands, make me so thirsty, God, that I don't stop until I'm full to overflowing. Help me to love you more than I've loved anything or anyone in this world, God. Where my greatest joy is to be in your presence. To let you flow through me. Rivers of living water. Cleansing, healing stream. Ah, yes. Any sick in the house today? Receive your healing. That's right. Just receive it. Receive your healing. Receive it. Pastor, what do I receive? The removal of the pain? No. Receive your healing. Whether the pain is there or not, receive. Just be made whole over the pain. Receive it. Lord, I receive healing in my body, Lord, in my blood, in my muscles, my mind, every system. I receive healing, Lord, bones strong in the name of Jesus. Legs straightening out right now in the name of Jesus. I receive, God, a new body from you right now, a new mind from you Have you never given your heart to Jesus Christ? This is a perfect time to do it. Get started in this experience, the new birth today. I haven't given my heart to God. I want to do so today. I want to receive him as my Savior and Lord. Jesus came to die for your sins, and he is coming back again. It's very clear. You can see it. Every fool knows this world is not going to last like it is. The water is running out. The oil is running out. People are killing each other. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Diseases that we don't even know what to do with, don't have medicine to handle. But thank God we have Jesus. Don't you want an experience with Jesus today? You're in this service today. You haven't given your heart to God. You want to receive him as your Savior and Lord. You want to experience the new birth. Come and join me down front. Come and join me down front. Or you're looking for a church. You're looking for some people who will pray to you through your situation. Come and join me down front. Come and join me. Slip out of the aisle right where you are. You want to receive today. You want to receive. Thank you, Lord. Come and join me. Move out of the aisle right where you are. And come and join me down front. Come and join me down front. Hallelujah. 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 Opening my heart to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's just receive. You don't have to tarry for the Holy Spirit in the way that people talked about it and thinking it takes 40 and 50 days. As soon as you receive, you can have it. You can have it as you receive. As you receive. As you receive. As you receive. Just receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it. With the laying on of hands, as the elders just touch you, just receive it. Just receive it. Everything, just drink, just drink, just drink it in, just drink it in, just drink it in, just drink it in. Lord, I receive. Somebody say, Lord, I receive. Come on, Lord, I receive, I receive. Hallelujah. What do you need to receive from him? Somebody needs to receive financial freedom today. Lord, I receive. Come on, draw it all in, your healing. Lord, I receive. Hallelujah. Draw it in. Receive it. Receive it. Somebody needs to restart with God. Yeah, you're born again, but you wandered away from God. Lord, I receive. I'm coming back to you. Come on, receive it. Drink it in. Drink it in. In the name of Jesus, drink it in. Receive it. 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 In the name of Jesus, God, thank you for doing a powerful work in the lives of your people today. Come on, let's worship him and thank him for doing a wonderful work. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Receivers, receivers, come on. Every receiver, thank you, God. Every receiver, thank you, Lord. Every receiver, moving from a well to a river. Every receiver, every receiver, every receiver. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall what, everybody? Continually be in my. Every receiver, every receiver, every receiver, every receiver. There's some others who want to receive today. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Anyone here? I know. It's going to be tough for you to come, but just come anyway. You're going to get a blessing. Amen. You're really afraid about this thing about the Holy Spirit. You're not sure. Just come and let us pray with you. Come on. You're just not sure. You're afraid. Come on. Be honest and just come. Just come. Just come. You're afraid about this thing. Let's just believe God with you. Amen. You don't want to be deceived. Aren't you like that? Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, there's some more. Some more. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your ministry of love, God. We thank you for your ministry of love that you will minister in my mother's life right here. You will let her know exactly what your word means and says to her. Thank you for a new freedom in her life. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. A new freedom. In the name of Jesus. A new freedom. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Chosen. A chosen. A chosen daughter by God. Brought you through so much. Reached in and got you. And bringing you here success in a brand new way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your work and ministry. Thank you, God, for another receiver in the name of Jesus. Just receive success. Receive success. Claim your heritage in Jesus' name. As a daughter of Abraham, God, I accept it now. I accept it now in the name of Jesus. Shackles broken in the name of Jesus. It's mine. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say it's mine right now. It's mine right now. I will have it. I will have it. I receive it today. I receive it. No, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Somebody needs to receive wisdom. Amen. Come on, are there any wisdom receivers today? God, I need wisdom. Anybody like that today? Hallelujah, I need wisdom. Let me see the wisdom receivers today. You're praying for wisdom. Raise your hand. Wave your hand. Hallelujah, God, I'm receiving wisdom. Come on, tell God, I receive wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God and he give it liberally. I receive it. Come on, receive wisdom. I would know when to talk. I would know when to be quiet. I would know when to move to the right and to the left. Hallelujah, I would know what to say. In the name of Jesus, yes, new ideas, wisdom, 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 wisdom. I won't walk foolishly anymore. Hallelujah. Wisdom, I receive it. I receive it. Yes, Lord. A PhD in wisdom today. A PhD. You're going all the way up. A PhD in wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom being downloaded. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 It feels like we need to pray for love. Somebody needs more love in their life. A renewed love. Hallelujah. All the those reaching for new love, just wave your hand. Reaching for new love, wave your hand. All over the building, hallelujah. The greatest love experience, perfect love, cast out all fear. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. Hallelujah, we love you. We lift our voice to tell you. We lift our hands to praise you. We love you. Come on, receive love from God today. Let his love remove the fear. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are going to make it. Hallelujah. You will live and not die. You will not die. You will live and not die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The love of the Lord, you will live and not die. God says, I'm going to do this one for you. I'm going to do this one for you. I'm going to show you that I can do this one for you. I'm going to go on the battlefield for you. Stand still and watch me fight for you. God says I'm going to do it for you. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. And we praise you. We honor you for your word. We're not just going to have the lamps. We're going to have the oil. And we're receivers in the name of Jesus. We're receivers in the name of Jesus. I need to let you know that when you go to sleep tonight, God will be giving some of you visions and dreams and insight. He'll be giving you insight. Some of your wisdom will come when you get quiet. Be prepared to write it down. The Holy Spirit will come and give you insight. He will show you what you need to do to take care of your finances. He will show you what you need to do to get in the right place for that relationship. He will show you, yes, Lord, how to shift and change that job situation. He will show you how to do that. God will also send wisdom for the healing of your heart. You're wondering, what are you going to do now? He will give wisdom. Be prepared for that. Little suggestions will come like flowers from the garden of God. They will fall as petals around you. Be prepared. Be prepared. In the night season, just get your pad and pencil out. Write as much as you can. You'll be crying as you're writing and celebrating the love of God. But know that as you're receiving, God is going to send you more, and he's going to send you more. Hallelujah. 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 One last thing. Let's receive love for one another. Hallelujah. I want you to open your eyes and walk to three people and just say, I see Jesus in you. Come on. I see Jesus in you. Three people. Three people. Go to three people. I see Jesus in you. Three people. I see Jesus in you. Come on. At least three. Don't, yes. Move around. If you can't get to them, wave and have.